Our words this morning come from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, and verses 25 through 30. I invite you now to hear the words of our Lord. "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they said, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and had revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, it's time for a little involvement. We've heard the words of the scripture, and before we get into it, I need to ask a couple questions this morning. And I want you to raise your hands, and if you have one of these, or you've ever encountered this, or if you've used one. How many have got a cell phone? Or have used one? Just about everybody in here, okay? What about a computer? Okay, most of you. What about a television? And if I have not got you on any of those, then something electronic. We have electronics in our house. So I think we have all had some experience with those things, and I know that I have. Now, if you've used one, you probably have a love-hate relationship with it, because at some point, when you're using it, it's just not going to do what you want it to do. You're going to be working, you're going to be looking at something, and then inevitably it's going to freeze up, or it's going to get stuck, or it's going to get hung, and it's just not going to work anymore. And when that happens, we start to think probably not so nice thoughts about them, because they have a mind of their own. And when this happens and they freeze up and they quit working and doing what they're supposed to, what do we want to do with them? Now, we're in church, keep that in mind, so don't necessarily share that, because throwing it away is not an option. Well, with just about every one of these electronic devices, we have the ability to fix it. We turn it off and turn it back on. We hit the reset button. We reboot it. And if it's a computer, if we're mad at it, we may not necessarily go down through the shutdown process. We might just start hitting the power button, which is never a good thing. But we turn it off and we let it start back up again, and hopefully that fixes it. But we also had this thing that most of these work off of called batteries. And the thing that we know about batteries is they eventually run down, and they eventually die, and it's usually at the most inopportune time. And without those batteries, nothing works. And if it happens to be those rechargeable batteries, we know they have that tendency to develop memories. And if we don't cycle them properly, they lose their capacity. And again, they fail at the most inopportune times if they are not recharged. So you're probably thinking now, since I've had this lesson on electronics and batteries, what is it that has got into me this morning? I went to annual conference up at Lake Junaluska, and you come back talking about batteries and electronics. So there's something wrong with you, preacher. But what I tell you, brothers and sisters, this morning is that a life of discipleship is very similar to those cycles that we see with electronics and with batteries. And the reason that I'm able to say that is I want you to think about the words that Jesus shared with his disciples. These words that we hear this morning, Jesus is preparing to send the disciples out into mission. He's preparing them for what they will encounter. He's preparing them for the people that they will encounter. And He's preparing them for essentially what they'll have to do whenever things don't go the way they're supposed to. Unfortunately, the disciples don't fully grasp what He's trying to share. And He expresses some frustration about their resistance and about the resistance of people in general. Think back to that computer a minute and those phones. We've all swore at some point in time that they had a mind of their own. And when we go out into the mission, we go out into making disciples and inviting others to experience Christ, well, people have agendas of their own. They have a mind of their own. They've got agendas of their own. They've got a schedule that is so set, and if it's not time for them to do something, they're not going to do it. And if church happens to be inconvenient for them, then they're not going to do it. If it doesn't fit into what they have going on in their life, then they're not going to do it. I mean, and Christ is preparing the disciples for it just like He prepares us for it. He says, "But what will I compare this generation?" Now, how many times have you said that now? What's wrong with the world today? Look at the generation of people that we have, kids that are being raised up now. I mean, what does our future hold? And Jesus said this back many, many, many years ago. But what will I compare this generation to? This generation that's not listening. People are babbling almost like they're children in a marketplace, just sitting and babbling and not making any sense. We're playing the music for them. They're not dancing. They're not responding. They're not doing anything. I played the flute, but they did not dance. We cried, but no one mourned, because people aren't listening. They're resistant. And when John the Baptist came along, they said, "Oh, there's a man that's got a demon in him. The one who baptized the Son of God," they said, "well, that man's got a demon in him. So what are people thinking?" And then when Christ come along, "Well, that's a drunkard and a glutton, and what do we think of him? And he's the one that hangs out with tax collectors and sinners." People just don't get it. And I guess what's surprising and even somewhat scary is this was during the ministry of Jesus, during that 3-year period that he's going about his ministry and spreading the word and inviting others to come into that relationship. So over 2,000 years ago, Jesus is talking about the people in this fashion. Has it changed any? When we really look at it, has it changed any? There are still people that don't get it. People babble back and forth with useless conversation that has no weight. It has no merit when they talk about the spirituality. People, whenever the music is playing, the spiritual music, to bring people into that relationship, people aren't here. They're not responding. And people still reject Jesus Christ. People still respect the Word of God or reject the Word of God. So things have not changed a whole lot. And it's almost like people get hung up just like an electronic device does. Now, here's the question that ties it together. Why is it that electronic devices, especially computers, usually get hung up and lock up? You can ask me here. Huh?
Something we did.
Something we did, and we're asking it to do what? Too much. Too much. All of a sudden, it's easy for us to get so many different things going on, and we get impatient, and I'm the world's worst. I won't wait for things to process. My wife's laughing at me. I'll be doing one thing, and I'll be on another, and I'll be on another. Well, that's awful slow. And the next thing, I've asked my phone to do 10 different things on my computer, and it hangs up. It's too busy. What, do you think we're too busy? Do you think human beings are too busy? Think about what your Sunday afternoon holds today. What do you have planned? What does tomorrow hold? What does maybe the average working class person's life hold? What all are they trying to do? And I think that they're getting too busy. And they get to that point of basically being hung up, frozen, locked up. And that's where we need a reset button. Unfortunately, we don't have a reset button on human beings, just like we do on our computers and all. But that's where that reset button comes in handy. Because people are too busy. They're set in their ways. They're not paying attention. They're not paying attention to the truth that brings about a changed life in Jesus Christ. And his frustration that Jesus expresses, it becomes obvious as he prays to the Father about the resistance of the people. You see, being a disciple is not easy work. We know that. We understand that. When Jesus called the disciples on the lake shore to pick up their cross and follow them, he was not inviting them to an easy life, but rather a life that brought about everlasting change. And we, as the body of Christ, are commissioned to make disciples. And we grow as a body, and we offer the light of Christ into the world. We're that reflection of Christ into the world. We're called to be faithful witnesses. We're called to love God. We're called to love our neighbor. We're called to help people see where they are too busy to experience the grace and mercy that God has. And if you think about it, if we say, I mean, we're ready to receive God's grace and mercy, but if we're always like this, kind of like what I looked when I come into church this morning, our hands are full and we're pulling stuff around, then how can we receive anything if we're not taking the time to be intentional about receiving it? How can we receive God's grace and mercy if we don't spend time daily in prayer? How can we receive God's grace and mercy if we don't spend time in church? How can we be changed by the Word of God if we never open our Bibles? How can we be changed by the relationship that we have with God if we don't spend the time letting God work in our lives? And that's the challenge that we face. That's where we need to hit our own reset button. That's where we need to help other people understand why they need to stop, to smell the roses, to reset just for a minute. Because people are resistant. You're resistant. I'm resistant. We don't want to get out of our comfort zones, and we don't want to be patient. And then a lot of times we try to overanalyze the matters of faith and saying, well, that's not what it says. And then people are just like that rechargeable battery. They go about the same cycle over and over and over. And if it's not conditioned, the capacity becomes less, less, and less. And I think every one of you in here will admit that at some point in time, your batteries have died. And I'm not talking about the batteries in your electronics. But at some point in time in your life, your batteries have died. And that they have really diminished in capacity. That I can't quite do what I used to do. Because we're not taking the time to recharge. As disciples of Christ, you've got to take care of yourself. Because before you can take care of anybody else. Because the work is not easy, it's demanding, and we can easily be discouraged. I mean, Jesus had problems with people rejecting the Word 2,000 years ago. We're still having that same problem today. People don't get it. But we must do those things that provides that renewal, that refreshment, that recharging as we go about the business of being followers of Christ, as we go about our calling of following Christ in the path that He's laid before us. We can find comfort in the words of God. We heard this morning from the psalmist that our Lord is our refuge and our strength. We heard in the Gospel of Matthew that come to me all who are weak and weary. And basically He'd lift that burden up. We find comfort in those words that are offered because it's only through Him that we can find our rest. Only through Him will our yoke be lightened and we can learn. Only through Him do we discover the gentleness of a perfect Savior. Only through Him do we discover what it means to be humble. And only through Him will we find rest for our souls. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to take time. To take time for yourself and participate in a spiritual renewal, to be refreshed, to be recharged, to get your batteries back to where they need to be. Do something different. Take time to read a book, if that's your thing. Take time to absorb the beauty of God's words. Of something different. Look at something with a different light. And acknowledge that God created you for a purpose by His own hands. Accept God's grace, accept God's mercy, and don't keep your hands so full that you can't receive it. Experience God more fully. Read the Scriptures. Maybe attend some special spiritual renewal event. Just stop and breathe on your fast-paced life. Now, William and I were fortunate enough to go to Lake Junaluska a couple weeks ago for an annual conference. And I've always looked at that as a wonderful time of spiritual renewal. And I can say that we truly did have a mountaintop experience because I actually took William on a hike to the top of the mountain during our break on Saturday afternoon. We went up to visit a graveyard. And the guy at the bottom of the hill said, well, the elk are up there on the other side of the graveyard. And I said, how far is the graveyard? He said, it's only about 300 or 400 yards. Well, he didn't tell us that 300 or 400 yards was straight up. So William and I walked up to the top, and we spent a lot of time up there because we were too tired to walk back down. But anyway, we had a lot of good renewal with the worship services. Very worship, could feel the Holy Spirit moving, received encouraging words from the bishop. But I think one of the most spiritual times occurred during our Saturday afternoon break when we went up to the Cataloochee area for a couple hours and just simply stood and looked into a flowing mountain stream and marveled at the works of God's hands. And to sit there and think just for a minute that if God can create that and create those mountains and that stream that flows, and that the same God who created that created each one of us, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made by our God. And then we imagine, or then see, how we exist in all creation. And what stuck with me when I stood there by that stream was to be still and know God. That no matter what I had going on in my life at that point in time, then when we come to that place of spiritual renewal and recharging our batteries, that we simply must be still and know God. So call it what you want. Reset, recharge, renew, recycle. But what it really says is be still, know God. Let God be God while you make time to receive His grace and mercy. And brothers and sisters, I offer these words to you today with hopes that they will bring about peace and comfort and hope. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.